Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
It's just so good. So good to be here. Just so good to sense God in this place, just to know the Spirit of God is moving and working in such a great way. I remember just about 3 years ago when I was talking with Pastor Sam and probably meeting him for the first time. And we had a chat together and he said, great. He said, mate, he said, just good that you're scoring goals over on the west side of Canada and we're scoring goals over on the east side of Canada. I thought, isn't that great? No, absolutely fantastic. I love the concept of scoring goals and winning the game and winning in life and just moving forward with progress, each one of us. And of course, you know, I'm a Brit. So you guys do hockey over here, don't you? It's a bit difficult, right? I wondered sometimes whether, yeah, they're just kidding me. They're actually running around chasing nothing on the, I can't see it. I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is. But you know, you really love your hockey, don't you? Really. And you know, Toronto just doing so good at the moment, right? And, on top of the charts, as it were. I'm pleased to see that the Vancouver Whitecaps were over here last Monday scoring goals on the east side against Toronto. I shouldn't have said that, should I? That's really going to affect your reception today, isn't it? But I tell you what, look, when you think about football, British football, that is, soccer, as you would say, over here, you can see what you're kicking around. Okay? I think faith is something which you need to be able to see. Because I reckon an awful lot of people are struggling because they don't know what faith is. They've got great needs in their lives and in their heart, and they're stressed and they're anxious. Have I got faith? Because so often Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. So I want this morning, I just believe I got a message that hopefully is going to release some of you guys, that you relax, that you chill out, that you understand that faith is something that's seen. It's not something that you're running, chasing after, that you can't see, that I'm not quite sure whether it's there or I get there. And oh, guess what? It's not there anymore. It's over there. It's not like that puck on the hockey rink. It's something which is accessible, is something which you can enjoy, is something which you can have, is something which you can enjoy the results and the fruit of every single one of you here today. When we were in Bible college a few years back, and I remember being on the Bible college stand. So I would have been, you know, one of Pam Borrow's interns, manning the Bible college stand. And I remember just seeing, and I actually remember seeing this beautiful girl in the distance, walking towards the stand. And of course, you know, here, best foot forward, hey? And so I see this visage, this beauty, this dark haired beauty. And she comes to the stand and she says, I've got an interview to go to the Bible college. Yes. I got an interview. So it's my job to, you know, to stand forward a little bit quicker. So I will take you. I will take you to your interview. And so I took this, this beautiful girl, to her interview and she went in there and did whatever she had to do. And then of course, that was it. That was the end of it. I didn't know what happened then, but I was the second year. And so I started the first, term of my second year, and who walked in but this beauty over here, okay? And she was an eye catcher for me. I can't describe it any other way. She caught my eye. That was where it all began. She caught my eye. She was eye-catching. She arrested me in my tracks, and the rest is history. I want to say today that you, every beautiful single one of you here today, is eye-catching. You've arrested the attention of Jesus Christ. You have stopped him in his tracks. You are eye-catching, and you have caught his eye. Here we got a passage. I'm just gonna read a verse from Luke chapter 6. And Jesus had a great sermon. He spoke a great sermon. And at the end of the sermon, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So it's a bit harsh, really. Okay, so he wasn't Mr. Nice Guy all the time, right? You know, he said, "Come on, guys, I've been talking to you. You're saying I'm Lord, 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 and yet you're not doing what I just said. And you don't do what I just say." Here's my point. The word of God is an intangible thing. When I speak it out, it's kind of intangible. When you hear it, it's kind of intangible. But when you hear the word and put it into practice, it actually becomes tangible. It becomes real. Something has moved. Something has shifted. And suddenly your faith can be seen. Your faith can be found. Your faith becomes obvious, because faith comes by hearing the message, and the message through the words of Christ. So I want to say to you today, this is important, that we move from the intangible. I want to move you from the faith thing being the intangible out there thing that I'm not sure if I've got or I'm not sure I can get, to the tangible thing that can give you an assurance today that faith is here, that faith is in your life, that it is being seen by Jesus Christ, and that he is responding to your faith this morning. Okay, James 2 says this: as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So something of faith overflows and manifests itself in our world. There's something to be seen. There's something to be experienced. So after he produced this great sermon, it says he then moved on and he went to a place called Capernaum. I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 7 right now. And you can see that faith produces an environment. Faith's not just one thing. It produces a whole lot of things. In Luke chapter 7, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. Turning to the crowd following, he said, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith, even in Israel." You see, Jesus found faith. He found it. But I want to help you to understand here today that he found faith in a whole environment. Faith is found in an environment. It's not just, I have this individual faith. Jesus found faith in everything that he saw there. This is why it's such an amazing, amazing passage. That he actually found faith. In Luke chapter 18, it says this: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith. He's looking to find faith across the earth. So it can be found. Faith can be found. in Matthew chapter 13, it says he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So faith can be absent, okay? And Jesus can't do much when faith is not there. And this is why sometimes we have a little bit of a hard time on all this, because we're thinking, is faith there or not? Have I got faith? Lord, have I got faith? Haven't I got faith? Is it strong enough? Is it big enough? Lord, what am I going to do? We get stressed out. We get worried about it. I want to say that faith manifests itself in a whole environment. That's why it's so important here for you today, because you're part of an environment. It's not just you. You're in an environment. It's loads of faith in the room, right here, right now. Jesus is arrested by the faith that he sees here in this room. Jesus is attracted to what he sees and has found right here in the room today. In James 2, it says, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith with my deeds. And so, again, we see this whole thing, that faith can be shown. Faith is seen, and faith has moved from the intangible to the tangible, something very real. I'm hoping that by the end of this morning, you're going to see faith here. It's not going to be hard, because you're going to see faith. You're actually going to have an understanding that faith's here. It's not hard. And you know, God didn't make it to be hard. He made it to be simple. Because I'm stupid. And if I can get it, then we can all get it, right? It didn't mean to be hard. You know, we sometimes make life difficult and make it more difficult than we should do. So there's a few things that I think an environment of faith from this passage produce that enable God to see faith, and to see faith in you, and to see faith in here. Number one, he sees your love. He sees your love. You see, faith without love is deficient. Okay, it is deficient, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I have faith that can move mountains, yet I don't have love, I'm nothing. So your love is a manifestation of the faith that you have. Jesus, when they came and said to him, what's the greatest command? He said, to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Oh, and guess what? The second one's something similar. Okay, you got to love people. Love. Do you know what? Love is flowing from your lives. It's a manifestation of faith, because you've taken the words that Jesus said, you've worked them into your life, and it's now become tangible. Building your house upon a rock, your life's being well built. It's a manifestation of faith. Well, I just love that we're part of C3 Canada. I love the fact that you're part of C3 Toronto, and I love Toronto. Isn't that so good? If I was here, I'd be in that run. I'd be in that run when you do that run. I loved it at the end of the conference. We were part of Love Toronto. It's a great thing. You see, faith manifests itself in love. They saw the love that this centurion had. He loves our nation. Love's a manifestation of faith. If there's love that's flowing in your heart and in your life today, Jesus is arrested by that. He's attracted to that because it's a manifestation of faith. Secondly, he sees what you're building. This centurion, they said, he deserves this because he, number one, loves our nation. And number two, he has built our synagogue. The synagogue was building the church of the day. That's what it was. That was their church. That was their sort of manifestation of the kingdom of God at that time. And this guy was building the house of God, building the work of God on planet Earth. I want to say you're here today. You're building the house of God. He sees what you are building. It's a manifestation of faith. This is part of the environment of faith that you're doing what you do here today. I don't see. I mean, you're all great people, but I'm connected to you with something far more than you're just great people. There's something flowing here in this place that is a manifestation of the faith that we have, and that's what Jesus was attracted to. He sees what you're building. Matthew 6 says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. The all these things is all the things you worry about. It's all the stuff that's getting you stressed. It's all the stuff which is working you up, that's eating away at you. It's all those things, right? If you seek first the kingdom of God, if you're building the kingdom of God, you're building the house of God. It's a surefire way to success. You see, all these things, they will be added to you. The kingdom of God is the greatest cruise liner into the destiny and the purposes of God for your life. There are places that God wants you to see. There are places he wants you to go. There are experiences he wants you to have. There are things that he wants you to achieve that you will only achieve on the cruise liner of destiny, that is the kingdom of God. When you put first the kingdom and his righteousness, all this stuff, it happens. It's an amazing thing. I can't look at my life and say, oh, I do what I do because I'm an amazing guy. I look and I think, my goodness me, how the heck did that happen? How did that take place? It certainly wasn't my brilliance, because that just doesn't exist. It's the brilliance of God. It's the brilliance of his plan. It's the brilliance of his love. It's the fact that he saw me and saw that I was seeking to put into practice his word, however imperfectly. I was seeking to do that, and it attracted him. It attracted him. It stopped him and said, you know what, Chris ain't perfect. Sometimes Chris is an idiot. But you know what? I can see faith. And he is attracted to faith. He doesn't take your perfection, because you don't have it, the same as I don't have it. But what he does see is he sees faith. He sees faith, and he is attracted to faith. I just believe this morning that some of you, you've got dreams. I want to say that your dreams are going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. It is the greatest way for the positive advancement of your life is to be part of his kingdom and moving on the great ship called the kingdom of God. Okay, that's the best place for you to be. It's the place that is going to fulfill you. It's going to be the place that satisfies you. It's going to be the place that enables you to stand strong when the storm and the torrent comes. It is going to be the place that you are happiest in and happiest a part of. Some of you are dreaming about who your spouse is going to be. Oh, come on. Don't be coy. You are, and that's okay. That's brilliant. That's good. Do you know what? I love C3 Canada, because guess what? The guys and gals from our place get to visit the guys and gals from here. I love that. That's how stuff happens, right? I saw her walk in the door. How many times has it happened? How many times is it going to happen in the future? I want to say, you, the things that you dream about, hitch yourself to the kingdom of God and they'll be added to you. It's going to happen. Chill out. Relax. Don't get worried about it. He's got it all worked out for you. For some of you, there are issues in your families that need resolving. I want to say that he has got the best way to be able to resolve the issues of your families, the relational stuff that we all have to deal with, your employments, where you're going to work, the careers that you have. Hitch yourself to the kingdom of God and it's all going to work out right. When we came to Canada, When we came to Canada, and then we ended up just before we started the church, a couple of months, I had zero money. Nothing. I mean, like, pathetic, right? Nothing at all. And yet, God worked it all out. He got me a job that was going to enable me to do what I do in order that I can build the kingdom. Because I do what I do in my employment because I'm building the kingdom of God. And He supplies for those who are building. Your employments, all of that stuff. Okay, don't let it be the main thing. Let the kingdom of God be the main thing. Let building the house of God be the main thing. And He's going to work all that stuff out for you. Don't worry about it. Trust Him with it. Because you're part of an environment. And He's just not looking at you. He's looking also at the environment that you are a part of. Home buying. Home buying in Toronto. Yeah, home buying in Vancouver too, I assure you. It's pretty tough. Okay, we had this on paper, like there's no chance. No chance that we were going to be able to buy a home in Vancouver. We got a home. We got a home. We bought a home. Because we're hooked into the kingdom of God. And He adds all that stuff to me, to Julie, to my children. He adds that stuff to our lives because we're putting first the kingdom of God. I want to say He's seeing what you're building. What you're building is fantastic. What you're building is great. The environment of building the house of God here is phenomenal. And He sees that. You're part of an environment. It's not just you. You're part of an environment. Okay, He sees your home. I mentioned earlier on. He sees your families. He sees your home. He saw the centurion and He saw the home of that centurion. He saw what was going on. He's concerned about your home. The things that concern you, He is concerned for and about. He sees the home. He sees how you're bringing the love of God into your home. He sees how you're bringing the word of God being lived out in your life into your home. He sees it. It's all part of the environment, all part of the environment of faith that He's attracted to. I love Acts chapter 16, verse 34, where the jailer, it says this, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. God wants your home to be filled with joy. Filled with joy because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Because that faith is going to produce an overflow that is tangible. An overflow that the world will experience. An overflow that your home is going to experience. An overflow that attracts the heart of heaven to your life. And there's so much going to be added there. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it in all abundance. That life flows, and it flows from a life of faith. It flows from this environment of faith. It's not all about you and dependent upon you. You're part of an environment. You are part of something so incredibly huge on planet Earth. It is unstoppable. It is a kingdom that advances forcefully. There's nothing that can stop the progress of the work of God in your life when you hitch yourself to the kingdom of God. When you say, I love you, Jesus. Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, you're amazing and I know I can't live life without you. When you do that and you bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's the greatest act of submission you can ever do. For some guys in here, you know, for me to submit, it's not an easy thing, right? For me to say I need someone to help me, it's not an easy thing. It's a hard thing for me to do. But you know what? The greatest place is when you're able to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I can't do this myself. Lord, I need you. I need you to help me. And guess what? You're going to get the biggest help you could ever wish for, because the whole of heaven is behind you. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. You've hitched yourself to the wagon and you're getting pulled along in a flow that is so bigger and so much more huge than ever you could think or imagine. And you're looking on in amazement at what God is doing in your life because you said yes to Jesus. It's so simple. It's so simple. You know, when you say yes to Jesus, it's an act of faith. It's a step of faith. It's a moment when I say, I don't know the future, Lord, but I know you're real. And I know you're here. And Lord, I want you. I need you. You see, that attracts so much. In heaven. Do you know what? Heaven goes wild. Heaven goes absolutely ballistic when someone says yes to Jesus. There's more joy in heaven over that than anything else. That's what we're told. And I want to say that I think back to the day I gave myself to Jesus Christ. I woke up the next day with a smile on my face. And if you see me in the morning, you'd know that a smile on my face is actually quite a good thing to see. So I knew, I didn't know what it all meant. I had no idea what the future was, but I knew that God had a plan for me. I knew that God loved me with an everlasting love. And I knew I'd made the best decision I would ever make in the whole of my life. That was, I don't know, 35 years ago, something like that. But you know what? Where I am, I'm living the dream now. So many of those things, spouses, family, households, all those things, God looked after them all. I've been a pastor with Julie for, like, I don't know, 25 years or so in one way or the other. We never got paid great a lot of the time. Rubbish, actually. God bless them. But you know what? God's looked after us. Man alive, I couldn't have worked it out myself. It's phenomenal. You might look at where you are now and you think, well, man, look where I am. That's okay. Because that's not where you're going to be. It's not where God's going to take you. He's got so much ahead of you and in store for you. Okay. Last couple of thoughts for you. He sees you. He sees you. We don't actually know anything about the servant. Hardly anything. Guess what? It was the servant that got the miracle. You see, you think, little me, who am I? Does Jesus know? Does he understand? Nobody really knows me. I'm not that connected, whatever it be. I want to say that he sees you. He sees the amazing person that you are. You see, you know the inside of you like I know the inside of me. And I'm thinking, yeah, but guess what? I know I'm not that amazing, right? And you think, oh, you know, the preacher today, you know, God bless him, but, you know, he doesn't know me. No, I don't. But he does. And you know what? He knows you. He knows every bit about you. And yet this morning, he sees you. Not to judge you. Not to hurt you. But he sees you to bless you. Right here, right now, today, in this place, that's what he sees. He sees you. There was a lady called Hagar in Genesis chapter 16, and she was on the run. She was a bit of a fugitive. She was in misery. She'd been mistreated. a whole lot of stuff was going wrong for her. She thought her future was done. So she was in the wilderness. She was in a bit of a lonely place. And Jesus showed up. And it was the angel of the Lord showed up and said, I'm going to increase you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. Your descendants are going to be huge. He said, now I want you just to go back, do what you were doing before. Just carry on. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be incredible for you down the road. She then invented for us one of the names of God, El Rohi, the God who sees. He sees you today. He sees your life. He thinks you're incredible. Yeah, you've got all kinds of stuff in there. But I want to say that underneath all the stuff, there's a seam of pure gold. And when Jesus comes into your life, he starts to take away the rough stuff around the edges and starts to reveal the seam of pure gold that is inside of you. You see, I only look at the exterior stuff. God looks at the heart, and he sees a heart inside that's got a seam of gold running through it. And I thank God that I know today I've got a seam of gold in me. I really have. Sometimes I'm struggling to see it maybe, but you know what? Jesus sees it, and Jesus is always working to help the seam of gold shine through, to help the seam of gold overflow, to see the seam of gold become an external manifestation of the faith that I have, so that faith is creating an environment. And when he sees my faith, he responds to me. I just believe that you need to hear today that he sees you. Wherever you are right now, he says, look, okay, you might be in the wilderness, you might be despondent, you might be wherever you are with whatever issues you have, but my promise to you is I'm going to bless you, I'm going to prosper you, I'm going to increase you. If you'll just keep on going, keep on within the environment, keep on within the environment of faith, then it's all going to work and it's all going to come past. The last thing is this, he sees your request. They pleaded with him earnestly. They said, you know what, this guy, he deserves. He deserves you to heal the servant because he loves our nation and he's built our church. Do you know what? That actually wasn't what the centurion said about himself. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to even come and stand in your presence, Jesus. I'm definitely not worthy for you to even come under the roof of my home. That's what his assessment was. Jesus just saw great faith. Do you know what? He sees great faith. It isn't about what you deserve. We actually don't deserve anything. It's about the great faith that he sees in you. The faith that's coming out of the love that's flowing in your heart. The faith that's being demonstrated as you build the house of God. The faith as you seek his word to be built in your homes. It's what he sees. He sees the heart of a servant. He sees you. Nobody else even knew who the servant was. We don't even know who the servant was. But it was the servant who got the miracle. At the end of the day, it was the one who was unseen. The one who was unknown. Because the servant was part of an environment of faith that arrested the attention of Jesus. Jesus said, I can't ignore that. I've never seen such great faith, even in Israel. You being here today, I've never seen such great faith. because you've created an environment here. He sees you. He sees your request. He's attracted to you. Eye-catching. Faith caught his attention.